They're not. Somebody just tried sneaking out, but he caught himself. By the way, I had a feeling you were going to do that. Pastor Nick sends out the music to those involved in the music ministry, and I get copied. And I saw the song he chose. I'm like, I know why he did that. Anyway, thank you. Well, it's good to be together today. Well, we're back, right? I'm back anyway. You've been here. And I'm glad I'm back. Kathy and I, I'm glad I'm back. We enjoyed our time away. Interesting things happen, you know, when you go to take off and do things and try to relax. And interestingly enough, our time away kind of triggered an experience that kind of brought me in touch with the things I'd like to be able to speak with you this month. I think that these are things that God has laid upon my heart. Unintentionally, I had no plans. And if you read my email, I was just going to come back and kind of take it a Sunday at a time for September. But certain things transpired while we were away. And for the first week that I was out from this place, I could not unplug. Anybody like that? I just could not shut my brain down. The gears kept turning. I wanted to put it into neutral, but I just couldn't find the gear, and it just would not happen. And how that took place was just the voices of all the things that could possibly done, that should have been done, that should be done, and I just couldn't relax. And at one point, it just got maddening in my head. Do we have any small children? Eliza Quinn won't hear this, but at one point, I just kind of whipped around and said, shut up, you know, because my brain just would not quiet down. And I start thinking, what's next, right? What's next? Because now we're kind of moving from summer, and I had a conversation with a bank teller, and I said, well, summer's over. And she just got, and my wife has done this to me too, it's not over. I guess, see, we got an amen, right? It's not over. It's still not over. It's the calendar says it's over here, it's over here. And but we kind of get pushed right along because we think it's over because we go back to work, the kids are back in school, classes start, everything kind of gets moving. Then, you know, we kind of start taking a look at the calendar. What's next? Okay, well, you know, right away, you know, with this, you know, Halloween and Thanksgiving, and then, you know, Christmas is going to be right around the corner, and everything starts taking on this importance, and it starts rolling along, and we kind of get driven by it, you know? And then sometimes you just get swept up on it, just kind of gets crazy. And I thought, well, what's next? And I realized that when that happens, our internal clocks start going, you know? You know what they are. You set an alarm. I got to have this done on such and such a day or such and such a time. And it seems like, you know, these deadlines start to pile up and accumulate. And then you start to feel the tension and stress because you got to move things along, you know. I got to get this done. I got to get that done. And I don't know about you, but tensions and stress, for me, have a way of finding a voice, okay? And they start dictating, start pushing you around. If I could say this, they'll bully you, you know, and get you going. And sometimes those voices get so loud, it becomes deafening. You can't hear yourself think, and you don't know where to reach or how to put things in order and how to get things done. And in time, what I've found, over time, a coup starts to take place, you know, if I could say it that way. A violent takeover, hostile takeover of the mind, because we get gripped. And these issues, these timelines, start to take control of our lives. And they dictate. And it's very hard to come off and put the brakes on and be able to relax and see life from other perspectives. We're going to look at a gentleman today, and I use that term loosely when we come to this person in the Bible, that I believe battled voices, struggled, that at some point in time, he became very troubled, and it overtook him. This morning, as we go to Mark 5, we are going to pick up right after Jesus and his disciples decide to get in the boat and go over to the wrong side of the sea. Remember, we kind of heard that term in life, you know, where's that family from? Oh, they're from the other side of the tracks, you know. Well, Jesus was traveling across a sea where he was going where most good Jewish boys would not go and venture or visit. It was Gentile territory. And on his way there, he encountered with his disciples a storm. And they woke him in panic, and he simply got up and said, "Peace, be still." And now he is crossing over, and he's going to meet someone who really needs that message for his own life. But look at just Mark 5:1 for a moment. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. This is Gentile territory. It's going to kind of, as we get into the story, you kind of that will come very clear to us as we read on. Mark 5:2-13. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart, and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. And crying out in a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you, by God, do not torment me." For he, that is Jesus, was saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now a great herd of pigs was feeding there by the hillside. And they begged him, saying, "Send us to the pigs. Let us enter them." So he gave them permission. And the unclean spirit came out and entered the pigs. And the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down a steep bank into the sea and drowned into the sea. Now, interestingly enough, we don't know how this guy arrived at this place. How did he become possessed? But what we are told are these things. He was alone. He was alone. He couldn't be around anyone. He was isolated, shunned, left to himself. No one could help him. No one. In fact, I believe that those who tried to help him by chaining him up, what would they did? I think it was more about them than it was helping him. What would they do with him next? I think if they could just chain him and isolate him somewhere, their lives would all be better off. But he had a way of doing that himself because he went off to the tombs. Another thing, no one could carry on a reasonable conversation with him. Yeah, you ever meet somebody like that? Have you ever been in a place like that where you just couldn't talk to anybody? You were in a state that that you just weren't in the mood for conversation. Well, this guy couldn't carry on have a decent conversation with anyone. We are also told that he was in a lot of pain, crying day and night. Seems to me unquenchable pain, the kind that doesn't go away, that doesn't stop, that's unrelenting. And he cut himself. Recently, I read an article, and I'm always cautious. Probably someone in the field could clarify this more than anything else. But I'm told that people who cut themselves, one of the reasons why they do that is because they just can't seem to communicate what's going on inside them. And so they cut themselves to bring relief or to bring a form of communication to say that they need help. The bottom line was, this guy, like so many, was a tortured soul. Just tortured. And long before he could find help, God had something in mind for this man. And I want you to hold on to that. See, because God did not forget this man. God had him in his sights. Now, long before Jesus arrived at the shore, I believe, and now spirits started screaming at him, they were screaming into this man's life. I don't know what they were saying, but all I know is that they took control of his heart and his mind. The legion. Legion is like, in Roman terms, over 6,000 troops. Very powerful. Eugene Peterson referred to the spirits as a riding mob. You know what a riding mob can do? Can turn a place upside down, take control, and throw everything in disarray. And that's what this man was dealing with. His life was in disarray. Now, I want to kind of pose something to you this morning, and that's this. You don't have to be demon-possessed to have your mind possessed by a multitude of thoughts. You don't have to be demon-possessed to find yourself overtaken and flooded with fears and anxiety and apprehension. You don't. These things happen in our lives. And so often, we try to find a way to cope. And I believe that through these fears, they find a voice and they speak into our lives. You can't do that. You can't do this. You're too old for that. You've lost your usefulness. Discouraging voices. Terrorizing voices. What are you going to do? Do you know what the test results are? Wonder what the doctor's going to come back with. Surgery. Wonder how I'm going to go through that. I wonder how I'm going to get through that. And as the time gets closer, you can find yourself more troubled because the voice is trying to get louder. How are you going to get through this? Or how about the mounting bills? How am I going to make ends meet? And so we live on the edge, and we find ourselves at times taunted, maybe by an inescapable past. Received an email that there's a ministry on Long Island that is reaching out to women who maybe X amount of years ago went and had an abortion. And they want to bring healing. And the reason why they want to bring healing to these women is because it never leaves them. They carry it their entire lives. And God loves them, and he wants to bring healing. He wants to shut down that agony and cast out those voices so that they might find peace in their life. Because they need to be loved. They need healing. And only Jesus can bring it. Or maybe there's a lasting addiction that haunts, that no matter what this person does, what he does or she does, can't escape the taunting of that next fix, that next drink, that next meal, that next whatever has them bound and imprisoned. It's enough to drive a person mad. And again, Eugene Peterson refers to our friend in the Bible here today as a madman. Jesus came and met a madman. Now, I don't know about you. Here's my experience when I've been in such a place. And let's be honest with one another. And I've said this to you before. We are all made of the same material. We're but flesh and blood. And at any given moment, we can find ourselves in places where we are tormented and we are getting buried under by emotions and fears and apprehensions and the unknown future. Well, here's been my experience, that beneath the noise and the rubble and the ruin, deep within, there's a heartfelt cry coming from within. Nobody else might around you know it. Maybe you and I are not even in touch with it. But the heart cries out. And there is one who hears that cry. I'd like to point out to you that Jesus, I believe, could hear that cry. So it is important that in that cry we might be able to identify our conditions. And I want to look at Psalm 69 with you right now. Psalm 69, I'm going to read the first three verses. And here's a cry, here's a prayer of identity. Save me, O God. The water is up to my neck, and I am sinking in deep mud. And there is no solid ground. I am out in deep water, and the waves are about to drown me. I am worn out. I am worn out from calling for help, and my throat is aching. I have strained my eyes looking for your help. It's prayers like that that help us because we need to identify what is going on. I probably said this to you before, but I am horrible at times of identifying. I often say, God has given me my wife because she's the one that often helps me identify certain things that are going on. I feel them, but it's like sometimes they just kind of go through my fingers, being able to identify it. Prayer helps us identify what's going on. Gives us a place to express things that are going on deep inside. And maybe it's not just in words, but a cry. Oh God, I don't understand this, but I need your help. I need you. I need you. So often, it is helpful for me when I go to pray to write. That's why I have my prayer journal. Because as I'm writing, there's this connection that's going on from heart to eyes to hand that helps me express what it is I need from God, what it is I am feeling, what it is I like to see happen, not just in my life, but in other people's lives. And in that identifying of what's going on, the next thing it does is helps us as we are going through that process, to identify with the one who can make a difference, who can change everything, who has the power, the desire, and the heart for us. So we look on the next portion of Psalms 69 from verses 13 to 16. But as for me, the psalmist now begins to identify who he's going to. I will pray to you, Lord. Answer me, God. I love this line. At a time you choose. I want to stop there for a second. God is not a butler. He's not the maitre d', right? He's not someone we ring a bell and he comes attending and running to us, or we clap our hands and he shows up. He is our God. He is our Father, as we sang about this morning. And he is there, always there for us. And I really do believe we do well when we trust and commit ourselves to God in prayer and wait upon his answers. Which sometimes is hard, because in our culture, we're used to asking for and getting. We go to the store, if we don't get something that we ask for right away, we get irritated. We get on the line and it takes too long, we get irritated. I want to tell you, sometimes we just have to wait, because God's timing is perfect. I may want what I want when I want it, but it doesn't mean that when I get it, it's going to be the right time, or that I will even appreciate it, because it came so quickly. Maybe God is trying to produce other things in our lives that need to be produced by waiting on him and trusting him and confronting those voices that say, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. You're wasting your time. What do you really think prayer does? Do you think you're going to get an answer for that? God has the answer, and we do well when we wait for Him. Answer me because of your great love, because you keep your promises to save. Save me, verse 14, from sinking in the mud. Keep me safe from my enemies, safe from the deep water. Don't let the flood come over me. Don't let me drown in the depths or sink into the grave. Answer me, Lord, in the goodness of your constant love, in your great compassion, turn to me. Turn to me. Now, earlier I said to you, I believe God heard that man's cries. See, what I think is, and I wholeheartedly believe this, that Jesus could hear his heart crying, that God heard, that Jesus got on the boat with the expressed and explicit incentive to go and touch this man's life. Now, if by chance you are taking any notes this morning, I would encourage you to write these three things down. He helps, he knows, and he is. He helps, he knows, and he is. He helps those who have lost the heart, the will, and the strength, and the mind to do life. You know, we're told God only helps those who helps themselves. I don't know. God helps those who cannot help themselves. This man in the scriptures this morning is a perfect example. He had no control over a situation. He could never do anything that was going to change what was going on in his life. And no one around him could change what was going on in his life. It was like the express definition of hopelessness. But Jesus came. He was out of strength. He was out of his mind. And Jesus came. And when you and I can't find a way, Jesus can come. In fact, he goes out of his way to get to us. Jesus crossed that sea to get to this man. I want to tell you my personal testimony in being away. I needed to connect with him. And I won't get into all the details, but he went out of his way to get his hands on me. Blew me away. And you know what it said to me? I love you this much. This is how much I love you. This is how much I value you as a child. And I was like, thank you, God. I mean, pursued me. I went to places and he was there and spoke to me. He helps. He knows. He knows where to find us. He knows where to find us. Isn't that what the Bible says? That no matter if we're down in the depths of hell or up on some mountain or in the heavens, he knows where to find us. There isn't a place that we can go that we are out of his sight. He knows where to find us, and he will go the distance. He knows, and he goes the distance to set us free when we need it. I was wondering this week, how many of us need to know that he knows where to find us? That even times when we are unable to go to him, you know, physically, mentally, emotionally, in prayer, in faith, that in those places when we find ourselves broken and crying and in a lot of pain, he will come to us. He will find us. And he is. He is the power to be reckoned with. What a great testimony that all the forces of evil, every demonic or evil entity will and must bow down to him. There is not a power in the heavens or on earth that can stand before him. Jesus came to the water's edge. He saw this man, and he went after him. He went after this. This spirit came running to him because from a distance, Jesus started telling him, got to come out. It's time to go. Pack your bags. You need to get out. And no matter how the spirit tried to entice him or to manipulate him or to falsely worship him and give him honor, he had to go. Jesus doesn't get tricked, doesn't get bought off, doesn't get fooled by these things. He is the one that needs to be reckoned with, not the other way around. And there isn't a force in your life or in my life that can dictate, that control, that we have to buy into and listen. And I'm telling you, we listen, you and I, make note of it, we listen to a lot of garbage. And I don't mean just TV and radio. I'm talking about stuff that we're told about up here, about ourselves, about our lives, about our uselessness, about our hopelessness, about how things are not going to work out, how we're going to just be left lonely and sad, and how life is not going to connect quite often for us, or turn out the way we would like it to turn out. And maybe that's so, but then God, who is in control, has something else in mind for us. Not that this other entity is dictating and telling what our lives should be. That's what this enemy got away with in this man's life. He got away with taking control. Don't know how it happened. Was it that this man never had a forgiving drop of blood in his body? We don't know. But the bottom line was, he had control of this man until Jesus shows up and breaks that control. Jesus can do that. And I trust that at times you and I need that same presence of power and love in our lives to break the chains that so often seem to want to wrap themselves around us through our culture and through our experiences, through things that had happened to us in the past. Mentioned a couple of weeks ago, you could be driving down the road and all of a sudden you remember this thing that you did, remember this thing you said, someone you hurt, maybe someone you offended, and it's there like it happened yesterday. I want to tell you, God breaks those chains. God breaks them all. So I want to ask you this morning, what are the voices saying to you? Right? You know, someone who walked in the door, they'd say, something's wrong with this guy. He's hearing voices in his head. I think he needs to get his head examined. And that might be true, but on another day. I'd say, what are the voices saying to you? That you missed the boat in life? That you missed an opportunity of a lifetime and it'll never come back around again? That God has nothing else in mind for you, but that was it, and you blew it? What are the voices saying? Dragging you down, trying to discourage you? Trying to convince you have nothing to offer anyone? That's not true. Trying to fill you with fear and panic and sadness? You have them. We all have them. We all have those voices. But regardless of what they are, Jesus has come to free us. Amen. Regardless of what they are, regardless of how strong those voices seem to be at times, no matter how loud they get, no matter how much they crowd us like a mob and push us around. You ever see those movies where the kid gets in a circle and they surround him, all these other kids are pushing him around? Regardless of all that, Jesus is here. Jesus is here. And one of the things about the Gospel of Mark is that in that time, Mark was writing that, the belief in God was not non-existent. There were a lot of beliefs about a God. But Mark's Gospel in its way, as Eugene Peterson is so good to point out, is that Mark was stating that God is here and God is here now. That's someone who showed up a time ago, created the heavens and the earth, and then he left and said, okay, you're on your own. He's here now. And I want to say to you this morning that God is here today, here now. I don't know about you, but I started getting a sense of that as we started to worship. I got a real sense of that as going in motion to get the ushers on the move to take the morning offering, and Kathy shows up in the back of the church, Kathy Lloyd, says, "I need prayer." I mean, God showed up here today. God showed up in the worship. God is present. And that's just not today. He's here all the time. When you and I decide to meet in this place, God shows up. That's his promise that he keeps. He shows up. And I want to say to you, what is troubling you? I don't know. Maybe your spouse or your best friend doesn't even know because you just haven't been able to share it with them. But he knows. And he's able to receive you and to help you and to break those chains and to get you freed up, to take those voices and kick them out and dispose of them once and for all so that we don't have to tolerate that nonsense anymore. God is able to do that. So we come to the end of this man's day on that particular day, and we read this. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the demon-delivered man begged to go along. But he wouldn't let him. That is Jesus. Jesus said, "Go home. Go home to your own people and tell them your story. Tell them your story. What the master did and how he had mercy on you." The man went back and began to preach in the 10 towns area about what Jesus had done for him. And he was the talk of the town, Eugene Peterson. The talk of the town. See, God changed this man's life. He had a story to tell. That's what I have been reflecting on and enjoying from our last baptism service. Listening to the stories of the people. Telling those who were there, this is what God has done in my life. This is the difference that Jesus has made for me. Jesus was instructing this man to go and tell his story. I want to tell you, those voices that need to go, that trouble you, that plague you, need to go for two reasons. First, for our own good, because Christ came to heal us of all our diseases and all our infirmities. And the other is that he wants to give us a story. Well, we have a story, but maybe he wants to refresh that story, renew that story about where you are with God and where he is with you. That's how people come to know him. They're going to find out through you and your story because you have one to tell. So this morning, before we go, and I want to say this openly, that it is the desire of your pastors, of John, of Nick, and myself, to help you wherever you are on your journey. Maybe someone here today needs to cross the line. Maybe they thought they crossed the line, but they didn't cross the line and they need to cross the line. Maybe you have crossed the line and you have just gotten buried under, you know, life and the weight of it all and the responsibilities and the stress and the tension to have to produce. And I don't care who you are and what you do for a living, even if you're a stay-home mom or you're someone who runs a corporation, it doesn't matter. From A to Z, we all feel the tension and stress to have to produce. Maybe you're buried under and you're feeling the weight of it. I want to say to you that as we close in prayer today, the three of us, it is our desire to always be available for you. This morning, I spent time in the back room praying with Christine and Emily McKeever. Today, we spent time praying for Kathy here. Right? We prayed in the sanctuary. I want to tell you, we need to be available prayed for Henry. We need to be available. If you have a need, grab us. In some ways, we live for that because God has placed it on our hearts. He's placed you on our hearts. We are here for you. Let's join our hearts in prayer. Father, we lift our voice to you again. Lord, this morning as I walked to church, I thought, it is so important to pray. That any time and at all times is a good time to pray. Lord, this morning I pray, call us to yourself. Draw us near. Lord, and as you see us, O God, may we continue to open our hearts to you and bring to you those things that plague us so that you might heal us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for listening.
Above all power, above all king, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began, above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, laid behind the stone, you live to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall, and you thought of me above all. Above all power, above all kings, above all and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began, above all kingdom, above all throne, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, laid behind a stone, you live to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on. And you thought of me above all. Crucified, laid behind the stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall, and you thought of me above all, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall, and you thought of me above all. Amen. Lord, we just ask for your blessing. as we go our separate ways today, let us take this message to heart. Know that you have the power. You came to give us this. And we thank you, Lord. You thought of us. You are here. You are. And you're the power that we need. In Christ's name. Amen.